Donald in the Kitchen talks about food. Donald in the Kitchen talks recipes. Donald in the Kitchen talks about lots of other things on Community Radio. Welcome to the Donald in the Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctical.
And I'm Donna Prishkintas.
This is the Donald in the Kitchen. We talk about food, farming, advice, recipes, and opinions. We've got lots of good things happening today. And we get by with a little help from our friends.
Oh, yes. The Donald in the Kitchen show is sponsored in part by the Mucky Duck Pub, where pub means community. For more information, go to themuckyduckpub.com or call the pub and ask for Marcus. And do stop by. They have so many English imported Christmas goodies. And you know those English, they're pretty good at Christmas. So,
very good. Ho, ho, ho. Dick-a-dick-dick-a-dick-a-dick-a-dick-a-dick. Here's the Donald in the Kitchen News Department bringing you this news flash. Funding for KHOI Previews the Arts is provided in part by Iowa State Center presenting The Nutcracker, bringing the classic holiday fairy tale alive on the stage at Stevens Auditorium, permeated with festive holiday spirit. Saturday, December 14th at 1:30 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, December 15th at 1:30 p.m. More information can be found at center.iastate.edu.
Yes, and that is quite a nice production. All Ames children should go at one point in their lives to see the Nutcracker at Christmas time, don't you think?
Yes, and then they can all grow up and want to turn into a fighting mouse or something.
You know, there is an age. There was, I think my son was maybe four when I had to make him a complete Uncle Dressermeyer costume.
Oh, very
complete
good.
With the top hat, the velvet cape, and these little black boots that he stomped around in. It's quite the deal.
So that brings up holiday traditions.
Oh,
how about
yes.
Everybody's got a favorite.
For
a holiday tradition I've noticed here in Ames, there's been a number of living nativities where people, you know, dress up like the Mary and Joseph and Jesus story, and they stand out in the cold.
In the cold.
But, you know, and they get the animals in there. You get your donkey.
Well, at least we have animals around.
Yeah, and dress up your donkey and bring in a sheep. Maybe you dress up your dog. I don't know what you do. But everybody stands there, and there's a number of these living nativities around. And
is there a place where you can see the schedules? Like, is it in the newspaper?
It's in the newspaper.
Okay, good.
And because this is America, many of them are drive-through nativities. So, you know,
right, so you don't have to get out of the warmth of your car.
So it's like getting your cup of coffee, but three cheers to those people that stand out in the living nativities. And I want to mention something that I saw coming back from Thanksgiving, coming to the countryside. A lot of houses are decorated, and outside a farmhouse, coming back from Wisconsin from my trip up there for Thanksgiving, I saw a great light display out in the yard, and someone had made a really nice manger, the nativity scene, and they had the usual light up Mary and Joseph and the animals all in there snuggled, and they were all lit up.
Statues, right?
But in the true Midwestern tradition, the whole thing was wrapped in plastic. I do not know why. Maybe it's a new sort of way to decorate your house. But it was like
to protect the statues from the elements.
The whole
perhaps.
Thing. It
After
was,
all, this is not. We are not living in the deserts around Bethlehem.
Right, right. So it kept everybody warm. That's good to see. So, yeah, we all decorate. We all do things. And it's nice to have these traditions, no matter who you are. This time of year brings out family traditions. You just have to do certain things, or it's not the holiday. Joining us at our table today is Ingrid Anderson to talk about the Swedish holidays and things that happen in her family. And we'll go off on lots of tangents, don't worry. But she's also here to talk about the alternative gift market. Welcome to our table, Ingrid.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good. Well, explain to us, Ingrid, what the alternative gift market is. I mean, this is the gifting season, so.
Yes, this has been going on 29 years now in Ames.
And a tradition.
A tradition. We are 8 congregations this year.
It's run through a group of churches.
Yes.
Okay.
So we each have our market in our churches or fellowships. And then we also have a community market at Wheatsfield Co-op.
And what are the gifts?
And the gifts, that is that you give to a charity in honor of your friend or loved one.
Oh, so you can sign up, you make the donation, mm-hmm. and you get some kind of certificate.
Yeah, you get a little description.
So you can give it in the card.
And then you get a beautiful gift card, and you give this to your special.
And what are some of the charities that you guys are featuring?
They are everything from health to mothers, children, bikes for doctors, and
so it's international.
It's international and national, and we also have 8 Story County local projects.
Oh, some local projects.
Yes.
What are some of the local charities?
That is Access, Habitat for Humanity, mm-hmm. and Good Neighbor. Food at First.
Oh, that's great. So
yes.
It's not just international donations.
No, And I think many people want to donate locally. So
yeah.
And that's always very popular. And because we do a good job, Alternative Gift Market International usually give us a grant for one of our local projects every year.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So
you can sign up at some of the churches, or is it next Saturday at Wheatsfield?
Yeah.
There'll be a place you can.
Next Saturday, 10 to 4 at Wheatsfield. So you can come.
You could take care of all of your holiday shopping with just a check.
Yes. And with all of our cluttered homes nowadays, this is a way to gift your way to a clean, nice home and doing something good
for the person who has everything,
yeah.
right?
And also encourage the young people in your life to teach them about sharing. And
wasn't there that old charity begins at home? Wasn't that?
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that's still true.
That's true.
Yeah, I think it spreads.
Yes.
And it makes me feel good about Christmas. Thank Sometimes you. It's sort of overwhelming, all of the
commercialization and the shopping and the,
Yes.
Yeah, it's just starting to ramp up.
Yeah.
So you can avoid all the mega malls and just sign up for the alternative gift market.
Yes, and you can pick a gift that you know the receiver is passionate about, like timber elephants or water for
bicycling,
clean water, mm-hmm.
feeding people.
Yes, feeding mm-hmm. people.
Yeah.
One that I've seen at the alternative gift market, and it's really fascinating, is you can give the gift of a flock of chickens or give the gift of a goat. Oh,
yes.
They're awfully hard to wrap. You wouldn't want to do that. But through this, it makes sure that some livestock actually mm-hmm. goes to a deserving. It's amazing how you think of all this stuff happening around the world, but those kind of gifts really can make a difference.
Make a big difference. And I wish I could be there to see when they get the goat.
Is there a website? They probably have pictures on it.
Yeah, and in the catalog you can also see.
Oh, there's a catalog.
There's a little catalog.
So what's the website? Is it just called
alternativegifts.com?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And one of the organizations is probably part of that is Heifer International.
That's another one.
That's a different one.
Yeah, they are larger, I think.
Okay. You give life stuff,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the idea of giving something that is, you're giving good. You're giving good.
Yes. Yes.
Very good. And you can actually, after Christmas, people don't have to, you can ask not what did you get for Christmas, but what did you give for Christmas? Very good.
Yes.
Very good.
Thank you.
Well, good work with the alternative gift market. Now, the other topic that we've brought Ingrid in here to talk about is she's my neighbor, and she's Swedish, and we have spent many holidays together, and I have learned a lot about the Swedish tradition. So let's talk about what Swedish people do traditionally for Christmas.
Well, we start...
First of all, they always have a marvelous tree.
Yeah, and everything should be fresh, right. Nothing artificial.
So you and Walter go out and cut the tree.
Cut the tree and decorate our porch with roping.
That's right, the porch is already decorated. Mm-hmm. Good job, it looks beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And it sort of starts first of Advent that you start
to get. That's right, we're into Advent now.
But I think we decorate much later than... in America. Sometimes the tree goes up the day before Christmas Eve. And
well, when are you getting your tree?
Well, here in America, we sort of move towards what
Americanized
you do.
Americanized the Swedish traditions. Okay.
So around, Walter has already talked about, aren't we going to get our tree? But I think around December 15th.
Okay.
Sort of.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yes.
Since I don't have grandchildren at home anymore, I don't do a tree.
No.
But Ingrid always does a tree.
Yes.
Makes me feel very festive.
Mm-hmm.
And your decorations are very traditional. What sort of things?
Well, we have some inherited glass balls from my mother-in-law. And then we have my... straw ornaments. And,
oh, yes, straw ornaments. That's typically Swedish, right?
Yeah, that's
there are lots of fashion. Straw ornaments. Like, I remember last Christmas, you have this funny straw thing, like a decorative one antler or something that you stick in the ham. What is that called?
Oh, I know you are so fond of that one. So I've actually started to search to see if I can find one for you. But I think we could make one. It's just a little wooden stick, and it has straw decorations.
Like in a geometric design.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is about 6 or 8 inches tall.
Yeah.
It is not small. And what's it called?
I don't know what it's called. Just
you're Swedish.
Ham decorations.
Ham decorations. Okay. Well, but it's straw. Uh-huh. And you have lots of Christmas ornaments that are straw.
Yeah.
Is this like from the manger or something?
I don't know where it came from originally. I should have checked our history.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yes,
makes
and we sense. Have these goats made out of straw.
They're goats. They're not reindeer.
They were reindeer. They're goats.
No, they're goats.
Yes.
So why goats for Christmas?
Well, Julbocken. I'm trying to remember
Julbocken.
Now. Yeah, Julbocken. That's... was
the Christmas
a tradition that he came. I think before we adopted Tomten, your Santa Claus, I think we had...
So you don't have reindeers. You have...
The Tomten is driven by reindeers.
Well, no, wait. We have to go back. Tomten.
T-O-M-T-E-N.
T-O-M-T-E-N.
Yes.
So Tomten is instead of Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
And what is he... He's a gnome with a red hat?
Yeah. So, well, gray clothes, if you want to be really. Nowadays, it's red because it's modernized. Oh. But he was...
He was always in gray when you were a child. Oh, my.
Yeah. And
is that because he came down the chimney like Santa Claus?
Really, I mean, there are more than one Tomten. We have sort of used him... in different ways. The original little Tomten lived in the farmhouse under the floor and protected animals and made sure that the humans were nice and treated the animals.
So he was there all year long?
Yes.
Living under the floor in the house?
Yes.
The Tomten.
But we also call...
Like the mice or something, right?
Yes. And he was really nice, if you were nice, but if you mistreated your farm or your fields, or then he was really fierce.
Or your animals.
Your animals, especially
your
animals.
So he was there, like, for moral guidance.
Yes.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. And he would come out on Christmas.
No, then that same word, tomten, became the Santa Claus coming to the children.
Oh.
We just used it again.
So that's if you're naughty or nice,
yeah.
You better watch out.
Mm-hmm.
You better not pout.
And, yeah.
Because I when there was a year, a good 10 years ago now, when Ingrid and I both had young grandchildren,
yes.
That our friend Anne, who's French, dressed up as the Tomten.
Yeah, and she's so fond of
she
this
was,
Swedish
and she
tradition.
Was very funny, and the kids were little enough not to recognize her, and
mm-hmm.
they really felt it was Tomten.
Mm-hmm.
She had a, what did she wear? I remember she had some big old boots. And
yes, I made the outfit.
Oh,
it
you
was
made
like a gray jacket and gray pants and big Swedish northern boots.
And did she have a red hat?
She had a hat with some red decorations on, I think.
Yeah.
But it, you know, and a big beard.
Oh, yeah.
And white hair.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. Mm-hmm. Here's a little something. Thank you to our engineer Cynthia for passing information to me.
Yeah.
Here's information on that goat thing. I mean, the goat is important. The Yule goat has been an important symbol for a long time because the tradition originates from the pagan beliefs where Thor, the god of thunder, rode across the sky in a chariot drawn by goats. So,
hey, I'm learning something new.
Yeah, so you got your goats, you got your... It's nice to have alternative animals here. This is good.
Yes.
And the sheaf of wheat, too.
Mm-hmm.
Using a bit of wheat from the newly harvested fall crop that... And then you
that's
did
that's why there's wheat in everything.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
There we go.
I mean, there's got to be an agrarian basis behind all of these old traditions.
Actually, that's true.
Yeah.
Yes, you're thinking of next year's harvest long about now, so you take your best sheaf of wheat and make a goat out of it, and that ought to please somebody.
The fertility gods. Yes, there you go.
Thank you, Cynthia.
What is that sheep? The goat called the what?
Julbocken.
Yeah.
Julbocken.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Spell Tomten.
Tomten. So Tomten.
Tomten.
Okay. Tomten. And now for the important part.
Tomten.
What do you eat for Christmas?
Well, ham.
Ham.
And rice porridge. What you call rice pudding.
Ham and rice pudding are traditional for Christmas.
Oh, very traditional. Yes.
Huh. Is that Christmas Day or Christmas Eve?
Christmas Eve is our big meal.
So that's when you have the ham and the rice pudding.
Yes, yes.
Now, where does Santa Lucia come in?
The Santa Lucia is December 13th.
Oh, it's a different... Okay.
Yes, and that's something we adopted from Italy. And I think just because we wanted light into the dark winter.
I'm thinking of young girls wearing a wreath of burning candles on their head. Is that true?
Yes, wreath with candles. So that's the Lucia.
And they really light them and wear them around on their heads.
Yeah.
Well, it probably helps to encourage good posture.
Yeah. Did you do that when you were a child?
Oh, yes.
You did.
Oh, yes.
How does the mother not get hysterical that they're going to set their hair on fire?
Well, we use a little washcloth that's moist first, and then we put it on. And
so you wet your hair and then you wear the...
Yes.
There's a trick.
Yes,
okay.
There's a trick. And then the little Lucia and her, or bigger Lucia, and her train, they come with coffee and buns and pepperkakor.
They're serving all of this wearing the lit candles.
Yes. And, I mean, the little thing you have candles in is quite sturdy, and the candles are secure.
Oh, but children.
But you walk
children
very slow.
Candles, that naturally, reminds me of the time we... had the fire at my house.
Oh,
my grandson
I remember.
And the
candle.
Oh,
yes. See? We're talking Christmas traditions here. The fire at the house.
A tradition that I have done, and this is, old German, 33, you have the little clip-on candle holders, and we actually light those, what are they, 3-inch candles?
Those small ones.
Yeah. With them, and you kind of... It's a beautiful sight. You turn out all the lights, and you usually on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we get about two lightings, and you know, and everybody sits there while just hoping the tree doesn't go up in flames. But it is a beautiful thing.
Yes.
Having real candles on the Christmas tree.
Yes.
Wonderful.
My grandmother used to have real candles.
Well, you got to think, before we had strings of electric lights and things, they actually did put candles on. I think the English did. I think the Germans did. I think it's a very European tradition.
Well, and also you talked about celebrating light in darkness. That has all sorts of symbolic qualities, of course.
Solstice, that's my favorite holiday.
Considering Sweden is kind of up there, there is dark.
You do have long, dark winters, right?
Yes, especially up in the north. I mean, it's a very elongated country. So in the south, it's much milder and close to the continent. Close to Denmark, but up in the north it can be dark 24 hours a day.
So you light a lot of candles.
You want a lot of candles, I think you've seen that I light a lot of candles.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I can look out my kitchen window and see right into Ingrid's. She has this sun porch where they do most of their dinners, and she's always lighting candles over there. It's very cozy.
Some light in the darkness.
What's that Swedish word for coziness?
Mysa.
No.
Well, you're thinking about the Danish.
Sorry. It's the Danish
hygge
word.
Hygge is Danish.
It's Danish. And that means like cozy?
Coziness. And we have mysa.
Spell that.
M-Y-S-A.
And that's the same, that's coziness through the winter?
It's whenever you want to be cozy.
Hospitality.
Yes. Good friends, good food, all winter long.
Warmth.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Oh,
well.
And more food. I mean, I didn't go on to all of our food. We have herring, of course, in all kinds of variations. And
we have really, really good ones that normal Americans don't get to try.
Yeah. And ribs, meatballs.
But you don't barbecue the ribs, do you?
We bake them in the oven for Christmas. With
And what do you season them with?
We season them with sugar, salt, white pepper, and ginger.
Huh. Oh, ginger on ribs. Now, this
salt, white pepper, and ginger.
I mean powdered ginger, a little different.
And Swedish meatballs.
And Swedish meatballs. Lots of food. And Swedish cheese, which is a well-kept secret. It's wonderful.
Okay. you keep the secret because you don't want to export any of it, I'm just sure.
Well, some is exported, but it's not the same as you get in Sweden. And they say they don't want to make it too big because the quality.
Yes, that is true.
Mm-hmm. Ah, very good. Are the cheeses made from goats or sheep or cows? A combination?
I mean, the traditional is cows, nowadays there's all over and all kinds of milks. And
that's one thing that's coming back.
Those goats making cheese.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That's one thing that's coming. A good tradition, cheese. It's all over the world, cheese. That's wonderful. We're going to be talking more about traditions. This is KHOI, and this is Donalana Kitchen. We're talking with Ingrid Anderson about some good things that happen around Christmas. And no matter where you are, you bring back a little bit of your tradition, what you learned from your parents, your grandparents.
Let's talk about desserts.
And
traditional desserts.
Donna wants to talk about desserts. Yes, go ahead, Donna.
Well, Ingrid brought some cookies, and Lana brought some cookies, and I brought eggnog.
Very good. Let's talk about cookies first.
Ooh, Ingrid's cookies. What are these called, Ingrid?
Well,
they're cut.
Swedish name is pepparkakor.
What is this? Oh, this is a chicken? No.
It's supposed to be a squirrel.
A squirrel? Oh, okay, there I see it. It's a squirrel. Is it squirrel-shaped traditional, too?
No. I just...
You just did it.
Took it.
I don't know where you found a squirrel cookie cutter.
But these are the hearts of our tradition. Mm.
Yes. So this is a cutout cookie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they look very nice and rich and yummy.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, they're delicious.
Well, try it.
And pepper cookin' means?
Means pepper cookies. So pepper, we say, because they're spicy. There's no pepper in them. Cinnamon, cardamom.
They're kind of ginger snappy.
Ginger. It's ginger in them.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm. They're really good, Ingrid.
That's dark, very dark. What's that called?
Mm-hmm. Lovely.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. My brain is not helping me at the moment, but
yeah.
Well, it will come. Really it will come to me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I come from a German tradition. There's a cookie called Pfeffernuss, which is same idea, pepper mm-hmm. nuts, mm-hmm. and that is also heavily yummy with all kinds of things, including anise. Back. That was a Scandinavian waltz played on a button accordion and lots of other things. That was John Berquist and the Southside Swedes, Scandinavian music from Chicago. The name of that tune is Metsäkukkia, and that tune actually has shown up a lot in the Midwest because things get folk processed. I've been at country dances and square dances, that's kind of a waltz played, especially during the winter. It's a nice thing. It means flowers of the forest. There you go.
This is supposed to be Swedish music.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
John Berquist and the Southside Swedes. I mean, it's very American.
Okay.
But it's good.
All right, so we are cookie tasting here, and we had Pfefferkuchen.
Pfefferkuchen.
Say it again.
Pepparkakor.
Pepparkakor.
So it translates to pepper cookies.
Pepper cookies. And they're spicy and buttery. And then from Lana's German tradition, we have the Pfeffernuss. Mm-hmm. Pepper nut. Mm-hmm. So it's pepper and nuts, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Try it. Okay. Try a German one, Ingrid.
Again, there is pepper, but right. Pepper nut.
You can hear the difference.
But that actually, mm-hmm. I did put black pepper. I put in more black pepper because I know Donna Pruskintis, and she loves black pepper. The Pfeffernuss have got anise and lots of other stuff and lots of butter. Yeah, of course.
And they're for dropping in your coffee, basically?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a winter tradition or a Christmas tradition?
Well, some cookies are just better if you make them and let them sit for a week. I made those a few days ago. Right out of the oven, yes, they're good. They're warm. They're good. They're buttery. But somehow the spices come out after they've set a while.
Well, both of them, you get a good clovey aftertaste.
Yeah. Cloves.
Yes,
was the spice.
Yeah, you can see how they're related.
Yeah. They somehow just get better with age, but they do get eaten up pretty quickly. So there's a balance there between the age of the cookie and how fast you eat them. Mm-hmm. I love Christmas. Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were good. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to talk about eggnog. So, I made a batch this morning. It's supposed to be whipped. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a very easy, lazy way to make it in the blender, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, let me shake this up, and I'll pour each of you ladies a glass of eggnog without any alcohol in it, I'm sorry to say. I only drink in the evening. So, try some eggnog. Now, we made this with Lana's eggs, so look how nice and yellow they are.
Oh,
Lana, here's your glass.
Thank you.
So the quick and dirty way to do it is to just put milk, cream, sugar, and eggs in the blender and turn it on, and then lots of fresh nutmeg. That's absolutely required. I grate it myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I always keep the little nutmegs in a jar, so I always have them. I don't like to make mine too sweet. What do you think, Ingrid?
I like it.
And if you make it and let it almost tastes like vanilla ice cream liquid.
Yeah.
But the nutmeg is what puts it. Now, some people also add cinnamon. I'm a bit of a purist.
Mm-hmm.
I did add a drop of vanilla. Now, here are the variations. I used Lana's raw eggs because I know how Lana takes care of her chickens, and I know that they're clean and they don't have any salmonella in them.
Tompton would like that.
Tompton would like that. Yes, because the chickens are well cared for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the dilemma is lots of people don't have access to these kinds of really, really fresh eggs, so you have to pasteurize the egg. So a way to do it is to make it, it's almost like you make an ice cream base. So you whip the eggs with a little sugar, and then you heat the milk. So now, oh dear, I'm all over the place with this. I don't make mine too sweet, but you can sweeten it to your own taste. Like, I find the kind that you buy in the store is too sweet for me.
Yeah.
So even when I buy the eggnog, I actually dilute it with regular milk just because it's too sweet. If you are making eggnog to put liquor into it, which is always a good idea if that's your inclination, you know, bourbon or brandy or what have you, I put more cream in it because the liquor will cut the cream. Otherwise, I use, if it's just like for the children's version, I do about 2/3 milk and 1/3 cream.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I'm heavy on the eggs. Now, there's two, you can either separate the eggs and put the yolks in the blender and then whip the whites separately and fold them in.
Mm-hmm.
Some people also whip the cream and fold it in, which I think is, if you don't whip it too much, it's okay. And if you're putting liquor in it, that's nice, too. That's the thickener. But now, if you're pasteurizing the eggs, you actually heat the mixture to above 100, maybe 110, 115 quite warm, and then you do that thing where you temper. You pour some of it slowly into the egg mixture, beating it. If you put them all together once, you just curdle the eggs like that.
What have you heated?
The milk.
Oh, just the milk.
Well, the milk and the cream, and you've already beaten the eggs and the sugar together. So then you take a little bit of the warm milk and you start pouring it into the eggs
slowly
while you're beating it until you can eventually combine all the milk and the eggs. Then you put it back into the pan and you bring it to 160.
Oh.
It's like making an ice cream base, basically. And then after that, then you have to refrigerate it. So that's how you deal with less than perfect eggs and make sure you have your food safety. But if you have good eggs, it takes about 30 seconds in the blender. Well, maybe a little more than that. But it's a, you know, I think it's a wonderful holiday tradition. I will be making some this year.
I must say I've never tasted anything like any eggnog.
Well, this
is good.
I was, you know, I just do it from my brain, you know, memory. Oh, a little this, a little that. So I thought, well, I better look it up. And this recipe was called Amish eggnog. So, but it is an old, I think it's probably German, don't you think, eggnog? I don't know. We all drink a lot of eggnog
around
here.
The idea of putting on the pounds and putting on the dairy products in the wintertime, I think, is very much a Northern European thing, because, like, missing the light in northern countries, you miss the warmth, and having a little extra poundage is not all that bad in the wintertime.
Well, also, I mean, you know, cows give milk all year round, mostly. So it's not like, you know, apple season. It's always dairy season. So it's a wonderful Christmas tradition. We always had it as children, minus the alcohol.
There are all kinds of winter drinks, and that's a warm one. This is a cold one.
How long
can you keep an eggnog mixture in the refrigerator? And doesn't it all settle out?
Well, you just shake it up again or put it in the blender again. And frankly, I don't know how long you can keep it, because mine never lasts. I've never had that problem.
Good.
But, you know, it's just dairy, so if you properly refrigerate it, it should be fine.
Ingrid, are there special drinks that people raise a holiday toast to?
Yes.
Glug.
Do tell.
Okay. It's you put spices in vodka, and
Spices?
You use cinnamon sticks. It can't be powdered spices. It has to be whole spices. So it's lemon peel and, let's see if I remember, the cinnamon sticks, cloves, cardamom,
Into vodka. So you're infusing the vodka?
Let it sit for at least one night. And the longer the better, so you can have it from one year to another.
You could start it the 1st of December and drink it for Christmas.
Yes. And then you mix that. You drain out the spices. And you mix that with a bottle of red wine. You don't have to take the absolute most exclusive, because you're not going to notice that unless
with the vodka.
Spices. And then you add a little sugar and a little vanilla sugar. That's a Swedish sugar we have. And you serve it with almonds, blanched almonds, and raisins.
Warm, right?
Warm.
So it's a kind of mulled wine with vodka.
Ooh. Really?
Yeah. And how do you – G-L-U-G, is that how you spell it?
G-L-O with two dots. G-G. Glug.
G-L-O.
O with two dots over.
G-G.
G-G.
Glug. And she has special little cups. They're like, they're kind of like espresso-sized coffee cups with clear glass and wire handles.
Yeah.
So for the heat, I guess.
For the heat, yeah.
Do you boil the almonds in the, or you cook them?
Yeah, you just boil water, put the almonds in, and let them be there for a tiny bit, and then you easily can get the peel off.
Oh, right, whole peeled almonds.
Yeah.
in the bottom of the glass.
In the bottom of
the glue
and raisins. And raisins.
Oh, raisins, too.
Too.
That's really good. Those are swimming around in the glue? Or?
Yeah.
Oh,
when you serve it.
When you serve it.
And what's the proper way to do it? Do you sip the glue and then not?
And then you eat the what's in the bottom.
Oh, with your fingers.
Or you can do this.
Oh, drink it up. Okay.
Yeah, it's always nice to have some roughage with your alcohol. Yeah, it's good. I like that. See, Christmas traditions are really, really good. Oh, yes, yes.
And then, of course, we have akvavit with herring. When at the table.
Okay, akvavit is close to vodka, kind of, isn't it? It's a clear spirit.
It is kind of vodka.
But you put herbs in yours.
Yes. And then
Ingrid is quite in the fall. She's bottling up all of these little concoctions.
Oh, what?
Wormwood.
Right. And we looked for years. We couldn't find the right wormwood here.
No.
And so finally Ingrid went to Sweden, wrote down the Latin name. Then I think we got it from Seeds of Change. I ordered them.
You did. You
yeah,
did.
I ordered the seeds, and I think I started them. Yeah. Lana teaches me how to start seeds. I am not good at this. And then Ingrid, so now Ingrid has the proper wormwood growing in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
So you put
a dried branch of that.
In a bottle of
in
vodka.
In the bottle of vodka. You add a tiny bit of sugar. Tiny
not
bit,
much,
not
yeah.
much like a sugar cube in a bottle.
In a quart or something.
Yeah, in a quart.
And what other flavors?
Black currant leaves, you know.
Yes. Ingrid has turned me on to black currant leaves. We are both huge fans of black currant leaves.
And what else can you
The leaves, make? Not the currants. And not the red currant leaf. It is the black currant leaf.
Black currant leaves. And St. Johannes herb?
Oh, St. John's wort.
Yes.
There we go.
Thank you. We have
some translation.
Oh, you've got lots of different things.
What else do we make?
So this, the flavored vodkas, you just kind of drink by the shot with the herring, right?
With the herring.
Because supposedly if you eat herring when you're drinking, you don't get a hangover, right?
No, and you don't get drunk.
I'll give that a try.
You don't get drunk. Oh, my. Okay.
Because there's so much protein in the herring.
That does help.
I'm not sure this is scientifically accurate. And I wouldn't go driving on the assumption that you're not drunk, but it's consideration.
Right.
Herring is that's a tradition. That kind of goes across a lot of different
Germans
have herring.
All
and
the northern.
I never think of herring except this time of year, and I do always like it.
Uh-huh.
Now, you can have herring in oil or you can have herring in cream or something.
Favorite herring recipe, very Midwestern German, is the herring. Now, you can buy the already pickled herring. Almost all the grocery stores have it. But to me, that's a little over the top. But since that's the only herring I can find, what I do is I take it home and I actually drain the pickle juice off of it and really, really let it, you know. I mean, it's still going to have some of that, but I find it a little too sweet. So then I take the drained herring, and it usually has coriander seeds and the whole coriander seed. Onions, probably. Anyway, so I keep all of that and just pour the vinegar juice off and let it sit and drain. Then I add sour cream, and apples, sliced apples, and horseradish. That's my favorite.
That's a good way to celebrate the holidays.
It's not the Swedish way, but
well, I can't even list all the Swedish in.
Do you get your herring, Ingrid?
Well, I usually order from, it's okay to make an ad, igourmet.com, and it's spelled igourmet.com.
Because you can't buy these kinds of herrings here in town at all.
No. And at that site, you can buy things from all over the world.
It's like a global gourmet site?
Oh, yeah. Very good. Yeah. Very good. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's the occasional run to IKEA in Minneapolis.
Yes.
They have some herrings, too.
Thank you.
Ingrid has at Ingrid's house, I've tasted even more exotic things than IKEA carries. Mm-hmm. Some really, really
matches herring.
Matches. Now,
is
what
a
is
favorite.
Matches?
It's a special inlay, what you call the pickling method with spices, and I think it's secret. The recipe.
A Swedish secret. Okay.
Well,
it's really good.
Every country has national secrets, and mm-hmm. I think it's important to do that. Mm-hmm. It makes everybody happy. Oh, very good. Very good. This is KHOI, and you're listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. You can find out more at www.khoifm.org. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We're talking holidays. We're talking Swedish holiday traditions.
Yeah, we just looked out the front window of the station, and it is like a snow. The snow's coming down as thick as in a snow globe. It's really pretty.
It is snowing.
Atmospheric. Oh, it's holiday time.
We've got cookies. We've got eggnog. We've got Ingrid Anderson. What else could we possibly want here? I have a winter poem I would like to share. This is called December Moon by the poet Mae Sarton.
Oh, I like her.
There you go. So with the snow coming down, this is quite appropriate. Before going to bed, after a fall of snow, I look out on the field, shining there in the moonlight, so calm, untouched, and white. Snow silence fills my head after I leave the window. Hours later, near dawn, when I look down again, the whole landscape has changed. The perfect surface is gone, crisscrossed and written on where wild creatures ranged while the moon rose and shone. Why did my dog not bark? Why did I hear no sound? There on the snow-locked ground in the tumultuous dark, how much can come, how much can go when the December moon is bright? What worlds of play we'll never know, sleeping away the cold white night after a fall of snow. December Moon by Mae Sarton. Good. I want to thank Ingrid Anderson for being with us today. We had all sorts of information about
Swedish traditions.
Swedish traditions. And she also told us about maybe giving a gift of kindness. And repeat that information for us again.
Yes. You give to a charity through Alternative Gifts Market.
Mm-hmm. This is an organization, the Alternative Gift Market.
Yes.
So you can go in and pick from a wide variety of charities to suit the interests of whomever you're giving the gift to.
Yes. And we have international, national gifts, and we also have Story County local projects.
Great.
And if you want to come to Wheatsfield this Saturday between 10 and 4, we will be there with Alternative Gifts. And you can gift your way out of your...
Make your holiday shopping easy.
Make your holiday shopping easy and not buy more stuff to people who have everything and doing something good.
Send something to those that don't have so much.
Yes, doing something good for the world.
Mm. All right, so that's the Alternative Gift Market.
Mm-hmm.
Good. It's the perfect thing. We all have so much stuff.
We do.
We don't need it.
We have
more.
To store it. We have to manage it.
We don't need more stuff. Yes. Oh, also, there's a number of some of my friends get together, especially this time of year, and instead of shopping, we swap.
Swapping
is everybody's got a sweater that just does not look good on them, but you put it on your friend and it looks so much better, and you laugh and you giggle, and maybe have eggnog at the same time, an evening of swapping what you don't need anymore. And people look down on re-gifting things, but I don't think that's too bad of an idea at all.
Yeah, it used to be called sharing, right?
It's called sharing and mm-hmm. making do. Yes, mm-hmm. it is. Very good. There are some upcoming things. I want to mention there's a gift market coming up, but KHOI membership might also be a good gift for someone.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. KHOI.
Especially for people who are interested in local activities. We are all about local.
Yes.
Right. You can go to KHOIFM.org and find the donate button there, and it will tell you how to donate to this fine organization, how to become a member, or you could figure out how to make a membership as a gift. That would be a good thing, and it would surprise people.
I suppose if you stopped in at the station, we could create a little, some
little
pamphlets with information to give as the actual gift.
Surprise people. They will be doing good all over the place. Also upcoming, Tuba Christmas this weekend.
Oh, Saturday, yes.
Saturday?
At what time? 11?
At
Is there
11?
Only one version this year?
Well, last year I went at 11. And it just so happened there were so many people waiting that we had they had another performance the next hour. So that's at the First Methodist Church downtown in Ames. At 11, mm-hmm. go and have your Christmas carol met.
I'll tell you, if a huge group of brass bands does not get you in the mood. This is a really good way to start off the season. You will be in the Christmas mood through the whole holiday from this.
Yes, and this is just not one tuba or three tubas. This generally is in the hundreds of tubas. They moved it to the City Hall.
Tell me to check the website.
Anyway.
All right, check the website. We have conflicting information. Oh, it might not be at the Methodist Church. It might be at the City Hall.
Google Tuba Christmas. Tuba Christmas.
Tuba Christmas Ames.
Yes. And also another mention that the Iowa State Center is sponsoring and encouraging people to go to the Nutcracker.
The Nutcracker. There you go.
Weekend.
Lots of performance holiday celebration.
Let your little kid become a Drosselmeyer or a mouse for the season. Very good.
Or a sugar plum fairy.
Very good. Yeah, very good. You've been listening to the Donalana Kitchen. We had music today by John Berquist and the Southside Swedes, and we will go out with music by Solas. That's an Irish band. Yes, it is. And we're going out with a tune called Timmy Clifford. So all the best for the holidays. Thank you for being with us today, Ingrid.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Good. Support this fine radio station. If we are in your ears,
put us in your heart and become a member of this fine radio station. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
Thanks for good engineering by Cynthia McClure. Eat good food and enjoy life.